Hey, welcome to the Science of Parenting podcast, where we connect you with research-based information that fits your family. We'll talk about the realities of being a parent and how research can help guide our parenting decisions. I'm Mackenzie Johnson, parent of two littles with their own quirks, and I'm a parenting educator.
And I'm Lori Cordles, and I'm a parent of three in three different life stages. One is launched, one is in college, and one is in high school. And today we're going to continue our discussion looking at this lifelong parenting model that we have as this acronym, or I guess it's just letters, isn't it?
Yeah.
RPM3. And today we're going to dive into the second M, which is mentoring. It sounds kind of formal, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay. You saying, well, I guess it's not an acronym. I've called it an acronym in every episode. It's not really an acronym. Is it? We are not a grammar podcast. I'm not absolutely certain on that. But yes, today we're talking about mentoring. But just like we do in every episode, we want to pause for just a moment. And yes, respond, prevent, monitor, mentor, and model are the five parts of this model. And they're basic tasks that we do basically every day with our kids that research shows can help us raise great humans. But we just want to pause and say, the idea is not that we do this right every moment of every day, all the time. And parenting requires a lifelong perspective. So as we think about how we have mentored our kids over their lifetime, and we'll dive into a little bit more about what that means. But we just want to remind you, we're not talking about, quote unquote, getting it right all the time. We're talking about from birth to death, we got all this time to engage with our kids and mentor them.
We do.
So will you tell us what mentoring means, Lori? Because like you said, it is like a formal.
It sounds
very formal.
It does. Very, very formal. Very formal, heavy. And it implies I have a lot of responsibility, which sometimes scares me. Yeah.
So I'll say, so like in between like wiping bottoms and dirty hands and messes
exactly.
in your house, parenting feels very glamorous, but also you are mentoring.
You are mentoring.
Very formally.
Yeah, very formally. So the definition we're going to use is that a mentor is someone who provides guidance, friendship, and respect to a child. We mentor our kids by supporting and encouraging their desired behaviors, the behaviors we desire of them. And really, it's about helping kids reach their full potential. Like you said, growing little humans, right? Growing big humans, little humans into big humans.
There we go.
And this really includes the idea that there are going to be mistakes and tears, and there's going to be successes and smiles. And in parenting, it is kind of informal mentoring, but we're teaching our kids how to become successful adults. And I love the way that our content editor, Barb Dunn Swanson, describes mentoring. She said, "You know, team, it's really about coming alongside our children as they make a path towards independence."
Yes. I love that.
Can you just see us walking along this happy little path? Yes.
And yes, I have written in my notes like alongside. Oh, I love that word for mentoring.
Yes.
Yeah. And as you guys might remember, if you've been listening to our other episodes this season, that a lot of this research is based from a booklet that was put out by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Health and Human Development. And it gives some actually really nice examples for mentoring. And because we talked about like, sounds like a formal word, but really it's stuff we're doing all the time. So just a few examples they give of how parents mentor their kids is we help our kids develop their own strengths. We share in their interests. We offer advice and support. We give praise and encouragement. We listen to the concerns they have. And, you know, even just being a person our kids can lean on when things are hard. Those are all ways that we're all mentoring. And I kind of like to use this word of like guiding and teaching. You know, I feel like the respond, prevent, monitor, mentor, and model of all the five, like this is the one where we're really, it's about teaching and guiding our kids, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Really yes, a lot more about their skills.
It is. It makes me kind of think, so if I had a, you know, my word pictures, I see pictures in my head all the time, right? So I, as you were talking, I could see myself literally as my daughters grew and the different ages and stages and that they were at is saying things like, I'll start your zipper, you finish it. Let me help you get your arm in, and then you pull it on. If I was talking about a shirt, or okay, I'm going to start the car and you're going to put it in drive. those are the pictures that came to mind as you were reading the words.
Yes. And okay, I feel like that's very temperamenty of you. Like you and your goodness of fit, you've mentioned before, you have some slow to warm up kids is like, oh, I'll help you get started. Like, I hear a little bit of your temperament knowledge there.
It is. Mentoring is like learning that goodness of fit though, right?
Yeah.
We're all different. Our children are all different. So mentoring is going to be different for each child.
Totally. And like we've talked about, like, that's why we have a pluralistic approach is what we call it at the Science of Parenting. But like, there's more than one way to raise great kids.
Absolutely. Or
the way I often think about this mentoring, I think about instead of saying like, yeah, we're raising our kids, we're raising adults, you know, which is a lot of even that definition mentioned about successful adults or whatever. And so we're raising adults. And so as I think about mentoring, like, what skills or characteristics or all of those things? Hopefully we're raising kind humans is another one that I say. Yeah. But yeah, so like we're raising adults.
We are.
What do we want them to have in their mentoring? Honestly, that kind of leads us right into why this idea of mentoring is important, right? Mm-hmm. So if we think about, again, lifelong, they're becoming adults, that our mentoring as parents matters. We actually have some research here from a textbook called Handbook of Parenting, which literally there's a book called Handbook of Parenting. I looked at it. Lots of good research in there on parenting. But from that particular textbook, it tells us that research is showing and has shown for a long time that the way that parents express their approval or disapproval to their kids helps teach the kids about desired behaviors. So for example, when you see your child do something kind or helpful and you say like, I really liked the way that you did blank, right? That shows approval versus when you see a behavior we don't love so much and we're like, oh, you know, I really think that could hurt someone's feelings or, you know what, you help share the kind of maybe the negative impact, you're offering your approval or disapproval. And ultimately, over time, that builds up to show our kids what kind of behaviors we want and don't want. So it
absolutely does.
This mentoring, like, is a huge part of our parenting over time.
Yeah.
Huge part.
Big, huge part. And, you know, I think it kind of lends us to the idea that we do need to think about then, if it's a big part, how we express both our approval and our disapproval. So,
yes,
you know, if we are regularly too harsh with disapproval, we might impact our children's self-worth. While at the same time, if we never express disapproval, then, you know, will our children even learn what is inappropriate and what's appropriate? They might not learn how to follow basic rules if we, you know, are on that opposite of stream of never showing disapproval. You know, we don't want to squash their ideas and thoughts and skills, but at the same time, you're guiding them and, you know, giving them parameters for things.
Yes. And that word guide, I'm getting a word picture. Like, I have a word picture, you know, as we were talking through this and thinking about this word of guide and, you know, like the saying, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Because it's like, okay, yeah, sure. Tell me that it needs to be balanced and that's what I need. But like, how do I find that balance? I'm thinking of literally like we're guiding. Probably shouldn't refer to my children as farm animals, but a horse, you know, guiding a horse down a path, we're guiding them. Like ultimately the horse is in charge of its own body, but we can help create a path. We can help them learn how to get through things and hills and valleys and all those things. And yeah, but into adulthood, they were guided in this experience. Yeah. And they were mentored. Yeah. I feel like some of our extension specialists who maybe specialize in like livestock or equestrian things, I feel like maybe we'll have them on the podcast to expand this.
That's a great idea.
Sure, of course.
I know we've been trying to figure out, you know, how to collaborate and engage with them, right?
But yeah, so that to say, the idea of, yes, guiding and that it's important for our kids. And again, that approval and disapproval part of it, what are some things with your kids that you feel like you're really trying to show them you approve of right now? Like, what are some of those? I mean, what do you want them to do? What do you hope?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think that a lot of the fact that, you know, one's launched, one's in college, and one's still in high school, is that idea of watching them, A, make good choices, B, make good choices on their own, you know, without needing me to tell them what the good choice is. But B, A, 1, 2, 3, right?
All these letters.
Like the third one would be that idea that they are also helping others make good choices, or, you know, empowering others. And so I think that that mentoring piece for me, since my children are older, is seeing them kind of live out what I've had as far as hopes and dreams for them, but also then to watch them do that for others. And I have kind of a silly example that my teenager and her friend group, they were having some irritation with each other, and she was sharing, you know, the irritation that they were having with each other, and not everyone in the group was irritated. And she said, you know, so what I told so-and-so was, I'm pretty sure we are irritating too. And, you know, we just have to give each other some grace and forgiveness and recognize that we're all irritating. And I add that here because that's something that I've mentored to my children is, you know, when you were 4 years old, when you were 6 years old, you did some irritating things that I didn't like, you know, or guess what? I'm going to do some things that you don't like. And now to hear her repeat that.
She's passing on the wisdom. Right?
Passing on the wisdom, the motherly wisdom.
But I think there's also some skills, you know, in terms of like developing her courage to do that, right? Exactly. Like to empower other people and to, you know, to say those things. Like, and those are great skills.
Yeah.
With my littles, hopefully with my littler kids, I feel like we're spending a lot of time doing the guiding and the teaching on like emotion stuff. So like my youngest is in a phase that when he's frustrated, he wants to throw stuff or like knock stuff down. And it's like, you knocked that down and your sister was working on it. Right. Or, we need to use nice touches to the dog. Like, and so showing that disapproval of the behaviors you don't like, but also making sure that that is balanced with the things like, oh, you put that away so nice. Thanks for helping clean up. And being helpful, being kinder, things that are important. And then that emotion one. And then I guess, you shared kind of like a value based one, you know, but I think the one that comes to mind for me is we talk a lot about like that different can be good. Like when people are different from us. And so when I, you know, my older child in particular is like affirming that idea of like, well, yeah, they do this different from me, but that can be good. And it's like, I love that you said that. Like, you're right. Them thinking of it different than you means you guys have more ideas together. Or, so that's another one that I'm really trying to like approve of is this idea of like, when people are different from me, I can learn from them and all that kind of stuff. So, but it really all comes down to like each family, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like what we think is important for our kids might not be what someone else thinks. And like, different is good.
Different is good.
Different is good.
Well, we kind of covered, you know, the older kids and the smaller kids, but, you know, let's tie into that a little bit deeper through thinking about, you know, what are children learning at particular stages and, you know, how does this mentoring happen?
Yes.
Through the pages.
It is absolutely the case that what I'm doing with my toddler looks a little different than what you're doing with your teenager.
Although brain research says that teen brains are often just really big toddler brains,
but either way. But so as we think about mentoring with our infants and toddlers, it's like, okay, what am I doing here? And actually a lot more than you probably think, right? We know in this kind of stage, there's a ton of physical development, right? The little babies learn to clap and then they learn to crawl and then there's walking and then there's climbing and inevitably there's throwing. But, you know, there's all this physical development as well as kind of this beginning of what's appropriate behavior, right? Even like our little crawling, those first mobile babies, when they go to get into something they're not supposed to, we start to teach them what's safe or not safe.
We do.
So examples of what we might do include things like we help teach our kids how to walk or how to crawl or work towards that next milestone. We also mentor them and guide them on what's appropriate behavior.
We do.
About when those toddlers especially have the biggest feelings and they need help with the skills to deal with those biggest feelings.
So big.
So big. And so, you know, that emotion of like, oh, you're mad. You're stomping your feet, right? Yes. And even something we might not think of, like reading books to our kids. When, like, at any age, but you know, reading books is a form of teaching and mentoring.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, okay, so then as they continue to grow into preschoolers, so you have a preschool age daughter, and so you know, as I say these things, I'm sure you can picture them, but teaching appropriate behavior with friends at preschool or in social environments that you may not be in. How do we teach them to get into those friend groups and play appropriately? Well, that comes from mentoring at home, showing them literally how to get ready for the school day. You know, what are the steps that we take? I love it, the example that you gave in a previous podcast of your daily cards. And how you get, you know, that is mentoring and teaching. What are the steps we take to get ready so that we can get out the door by 8:13? you know, trying to provide toys and activities that they're interested in and that they can learn to play with them in an appropriate way, but also in a way that they can learn and engage from them. Whether we look at, you know, toys and activities that create small motor or those small physical activities, whether it's drawing or coloring or cutting, and or the big activities, which might be running and jumping and climbing. And really, I think it's important to remember that another huge piece of mentoring is helping them and letting them and teaching them how to make choices at that preschool age. I think I know your daughter loves to make choices.
Yes. Yes. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yes. What about school agers?
Yes. And so as preschoolers make more of their kind of personal decisions about their day, school agers have kind of, okay, I know what kinds of things I get to choose. And now they're going to start working on mastery. So like, okay, I've had this kind of started to figure out and then I want to get better at it. And so this is the age where we see a lot more like after school activities and things like that. And so things we do as a parent that help mentor them can be things like celebrating progress they've made in school. You know, maybe they've been working really hard at like math facts, which math facts was a thing when I was in school. I hope that's still a thing. Math facts? Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So celebrating progress they make and the things that they're working on, encouraging them to keep trying, right? As we learn to get better at things, sometimes it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so we can mentor and teach our kids to keep trying when it's hard. Some simple stuff, even just like engaging in the stuff they like. Mm-hmm. They like to play baseball or softball, playing catch in the backyard. That's a form of mentoring. And then I think another big one that starts to come into play, we see a few more of these beginning life skills in terms of learning to manage their time.
Yeah.
So with school agers, they've got a little more freedom, right? But if they are involved in some commitments, it might be thinking about, okay, so you have homework and you have practice and you have school and we can't stay up all night. Like, we've got a time to get to bed. And so learning some of those things are also things we help teach along the way.
We do. And in school age, you as the parent, you're still like in charge of most of the final decisions there, right?
Yes.
And so as you grow to the preteen and teen years and the young adult, then that's when you see those things just become tenfold. And so they're learning a lot of social adulting types of tasks, and there are more friends and more commitments and more decisions and more prioritizing. And so just when we think we are needing to let them go and do all those things, we have to also recognize that they need us to come alongside them and mentor them to make good decisions, to think about their priorities. What am I going to have to miss because I have this part-time job? What am I going to have? What social event am I going to miss because I have this practice? And then those ideas of life skills. I'm going to have to learn how to clean the toilet. I'm going to have to learn how to keep the whites away from the darks in the laundry. Handling money. And honestly, even, you know, like vehicle care. Don't forget to change the oil.
Your car needs gas.
That's all mentoring, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about all the examples we gave and the stages, I think I see a big theme that as parents, the largest role we play, or a very large role we play, is setting the stage. Word picture. We set the stage with all of these things and activities and opportunities and decisions so that our children can learn to have skills and abilities so they can live on their own. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I do remember vividly looking at my very first child, those first moments, thinking, I will never, ever want you to leave home and live on your own. Yeah. And I'm so proud that she is.
She's like, you're doing it.
Super cool human. But yes. I'm so glad that she is living on her own. And so I think that that's the stage that we set is it's a life stage of, you know, monitoring and then mentoring to provide that guidance and encouragement necessary for growing independence. And it's like this two for one. They all go hand in hand, right?
Absolutely. When we're monitoring, we're also kind of preventing. And sometimes when we're responding, we're also mentoring and teaching, right? And are modeling the behavior, which we're going to talk about next week. I won't get into that. But we do have some strategies to just a few simple tips and tricks. You know, we talked about this balance, like how do I get this balance on mentoring? And so a few tips that we have for you. One is to be honest about your own strengths and weaknesses. You know, saying things like, sometimes it's hard for me to be patient when things are, like for me, I might say like, when things are really loud, I feel overwhelmed and I'm not ready to talk. Mm-hmm. And I've said before, even like in workshops or maybe even in episodes that we've done, my husband is much more patient than I am. And so sometimes I've got to say to my kids, like, I'm really mad. I'm not, like, now's not a good time for me to talk. I need to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like, you just gave so many parents permission to just be honest about how they really feel. Podcast ended, episode over.
Yeah,
right?
That was it. There's the bow.
Be honest about how you feel. You know, it is absolutely 100% okay as a parent to say, I really don't like this right now and I need to go take a break in my room. Or, you know, I'm really sad right now. Our children, they learn emotions from us. Mm-hmm. They need to see them.
Well, and even I was really frustrated. I made a stupid error yesterday that basically made me waste a bunch of time. Deleted something I didn't mean to. And I was not in a great mood when I came home. You know, I had my kids and my husband and we're trying to get stuff done. And I was like, my daughter came to me to try to do like talk to me about something when I was trying to like prepare supper. And I was like, I want to hear about this after supper when I'm ready to listen. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was just like, I do want to encourage what you're going to share with me. I want you to share with me. I can't take it in right now. So, and being honest with our kids about it, because as they grow into adults, you know, what happens if they've never seen you have a hard time? If they thought you were great at everything, right? They might think that there's some kind of failure because they're not perfect. Yeah. So being honest about that. Yes. Another two that actually tie really close to that come to this idea of balance of respecting our kids' thoughts and opinions, even when they're different than ours. And try not to judge them. Yeah. I like to share the example. I say a lot of, I guess we disagree. Right now, my daughter is convinced that somewhere in town is called this place. And I'm like, that's not its name. I can read. I know that's not what it says on the sign. But instead of us arguing about it right now, I've come to this place where like, that's what you think that's called. I disagree. I guess we disagree about that. But but just finding ways to honor that, like, yes, you are your own person. You're entitled to your own opinion and thoughts. And might disagree about it, but I don't want to judge you for it, right? I might guide your decisions and some of those things. But and another one that ties close to that is helping encourage their interests and their strengths without forcing it, right?
Absolutely.
Their choice, you know, the whole lead a horse to water thing I said earlier. You know, we might encourage them. Maybe you loved, you know, a lot of sports as a kid. Right? Like my husband and I both like we played basketball, we played baseball and softball. I played tennis, he played soccer. Like we did all this stuff. And so we would love if our kids were engaged in that. That would, you know, be fun for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to encourage it a little, but ultimately they might decide that's not for them.
They might.
And so honoring that. So that's tough, but but right along with that, the fourth tip is to introduce your kids to things you do like. Right. So absolutely. We're going to introduce them to those things that we love, but or did love as kids. And maybe they'll love it and maybe they won't. But sharing that with them is a way that we mentor and teach.
Exactly.
Okay. And then this last one, which I did not make up, is the perfect segue into next week's episode on modeling.
It is. Yes.
So, you know, modeling will be all about our own behavior.
And I'm holding all of my examples till next
week. Yeah, I know. Right. Like, oh, I can tell you.
I got an example.
But the fifth tip is to actually consider the way that you communicate with your co-parent. Mm-hmm. That thinking about our own behavior, the way that our behavior teaches our kids. And so the way we talk to our co-parent, that we speak respectfully, whether you're married, dating, divorced, separated, living apart, but that we're speaking with respect because it's teaching our kids about what to expect in relationships and the way they can expect people to treat them. Exactly. So that's another really important part. So our few strategies kind of focus on balance, being honest about our strengths and weaknesses, respecting our kids' thoughts and opinions, even if we disagree, supporting their interests and strengths without forcing it, and introducing things that we love and can share with them, all while doing that with speaking with respect to their co-parent so that they can also learn and model from that.
Exactly.
So
there we go. I guess that means it's time to bring in our producer, Kenzie, and yes. See what she's going to do for us. This is our stop, breathe, talk segment of the episode where we somehow, in creating this podcast, agreed that we would take questions off the cuff and Kenzie would toss them to us in the middle of the episode. So here it is, our stop, breathe, talk, and welcome, Kenzie.
Thank you. I take pleasure in stumping you every time.
I know she does.
So today's question relates to the fact that when we think of mentoring, most of us automatically jump to the idea of an adult mentoring another adult. Often like in a work environment, that sort of a thing. So I was wondering if you would go along with this idea that we are going to connect an example of an adult mentoring relationship to an adult child mentoring relationship, because sometimes we think to ourselves, wow, that seems really scary. So if you've never thought about mentoring a child, you might think it sounds really scary, but many of us have mentored an adult. So I'm going to give an example, and then I'll let you two also give an example if you can think of one. The thing that I thought of was often as either an informal or formal mentor, if we have someone that comes to work with us and we're, you know, in extension, we do a lot of community meetings, we often don't just say, here's the date and time, feel free. Often, like when I started, I know Lori went with me to a couple of meetings to start and sat alongside me and was there with me at those meetings. And then after a couple of times, she wasn't there anymore and I was comfortable being there. With kids, I think that fits in, you know, if there's a class that maybe we walk them up to the class and sit with them for a little while, and then maybe after a couple of times they're more comfortable, we leave them and we can go grocery shopping. Or like Lori said, when you're zipping the zipper, you zip it a little way and they can zip it the rest of the way. So that is my connection of an adult child mentoring relationship to help people kind of piece it together. Do you have any examples of times you've
been a mentor? I have one that's within the family realm that actually is both. Like this could be adult or adult child.
Okay.
I think of siblings. Mm-hmm. Like things that my older siblings have helped teach me, you know, when things have been tough, but also things that I've had the chance to teach my younger and sometimes older, right? Sometimes it's not always the age that decides who's helping who or guiding who. So that opportunity with siblings that, you know, as we think about it, one of my older siblings read to me every night when I was a kid. And she was mentoring me. Yes. And I think of how I've helped my younger sister, you know, navigate. Okay. So sometimes you have to like reach out and talk to your boss. Like sometimes you need to call them or you might need to check on this particular thing. And so I think there's a lot of mentoring that goes on in sibling relationships.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I agree. And so I think that in school settings, I know of times that my children have been, maybe they've been in fifth grade and they've been reading buddies to kindergarten or first grade, or the high school, they have gone into the middle or elementary school and they're utilizing those students as mentors.
Oh, yeah.
Because the younger children see the older children as, you know, a person to look up to that's not an adult. And so I think that shows a mentoring. Neighborhoods, think about the neighborhood that
you grew up in
and the children that were older than you and those children that were younger than you. And I can just picture a whole group of children in our neighborhood that they all walk to school together.
Yes.
You know, all the heights are different. You know, yes. And so I can vividly see them walking one day when it was really snowy out, and the older children were helping the younger children over the big snowbank that the snowplow had pushed through. So lots of ways and mentoring examples.
Sure. And that alongside word just keeps coming on, like picturing them helping each other, you know, holding hands and like getting through the snowbanks.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I just thought of, this is a Lori helping me sort of thing. It's the idea of you can do hard things and that you walk alongside somebody, and as a mentor of an adult, basically you're telling them that same thing, right? You're saying you've never been in this job before, or you've never been in this spot before. Let me help show you how you can do hard things. And it's the same. Yeah. It can be the same idea for kids. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was answering my own question, but I got excited about
it. But you made me think of another example.
Okay. And you didn't stump yourself.
Yeah, you're not stumped. But I also think, you know, a lot of times there's like youth mentoring programs.
Yes,
and that's actually what comes to mind with this word mentor for me. It's funny. You thought of like adult mentoring. I thought of like an adult who's mentoring a kid, you know, who's a non-parent. I know my family and other families have been involved and had the opportunity to mentor or to have their kids mentored by someone else. Mm-hmm. And it really is another adult who's kind of coming along and saying, I care about you. I'm invested in you.
Absolutely.
I want to encourage you and help you grow. And so, yeah, it's all those things. Like mentoring is all of these things. Mm-hmm. And that in parenthood, we're doing it with a lot of teaching, right? Yeah, like it's a lot of life skills. And it's formal because like we're their parents. We're with them a lot of the time, you know, and that lifelong perspective makes it kind of unique.
And you can do hard things. If you can mentor someone else's child, you can definitely mentor your own child as well.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
You can do hard things.
You can do hard things.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah.
Bye. Awesome. So yeah, she always comes in and we kind of remind ourselves of our flagship parenting strategy to stop and take a breath to speak with intention. So we try to do that in the moment, like we always have to do in our parenting in the moment.
Exactly.
So we did this episode kind of walk through, you know, understanding what is this thing of mentoring. Sounds so formal, but it's the stuff we're doing all the time, that it's important way to help raise our kids. We do it from when they're little to when they're really big, and that we just get to help teach them and kind of come alongside them.
We do.
But next week, like I said, you know, like we teased a little bit, next week we're going to do the final episode of the season, and that's the final M in our acronym or not acronym. I don't know if we figured that out. In the RPM3 parenting model. And so the final one is on modeling. So you have to come back to hear all about that one and how it kind of ties. Like I said, kind of ties it all together.
It does.
Modeling, so.
It does.
You'll have to come back and hear that.
thank you for joining us today on the Science of Parenting podcast. And remember, you can join us weekly on our audio podcast on any of your favorite podcast app. You can watch the show on video each week. And you can follow us on social media on Facebook as well as on Twitter at The Science of Parent.
Yes. And so please do come along with us as we tackle the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the research and reality all around the science of parenting.
The Science of Parenting is hosted by Lori Kothals and Mackenzie Johnson, produced by Mackenzie DeYoung, with research and writing by Barbara Dunn Swanson. Send in questions and comments to parenting@iastate.edu and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. For the full non-discrimination statement or accommodation inquiries, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/diversity/ext.